have spent a lot of time in the church, if you've grown up in the church, some of those phrases, some of those verses are probably quite familiar to you. You may have even memorized some of them when you were younger. Your growing up years are so formative to who you are right now. The values you were taught and then took on for yourself, the routines you begun from birth at times, the foods you recall with much warmth and familiarity, the songs and type of music you connect with, that heart stuff, all those things, good and sometimes not so good, begin when you are very young. You can probably all attest to the ways one of your parents did or said something, which is now what you do or sound like. Maybe a phrase they said often is something that you say now. Of course, sometimes there are those things that we shouldn't take on from our parents, and we work hard at not being like them. But it's not easy at all because it happened in our most formative years, and in some cases has been hardwired into us. Sometimes when I say something or make a particular gesture, David says, "Okay, Ben, my dad," or "Eva, my mom." And it does my heart good to hear those things because then I know I am my parents' child in those good things. I think one of the many good things I received from them over the years is their love of the church and the highly valued and expected part that each one plays at building it up. They shared their gifts freely within the church community and in the community we lived. The church, with all its faults due to the imperfect people that are a part of it, is the hope of the world. It is the body of Christ, and we are each part of that body. We have received a calling from Christ to be the church, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Each one of us has been given gifts to use to build up the church and the world around us. Thomas Yoder Neufeld, in his commentary on Ephesians, says, "The task of the church is to become what it already is." Ephesians 4 begins with the Apostle Paul urging us to live a life worthy of our calling. As followers of Jesus, we have been called to take up our cross, to be humble, be gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Yet in any community, the stresses of daily life, the conflict of personalities, and the minor disagreements can add up to make Paul's directive seem unattainable. We don't like bearing with those who rub us the wrong way, and making every effort to maintain unity, well, it looks like more trouble than it's worth. Certainly we have ditched friends because of it, or we have blocked them on our social media. Even so, most of us desire to lead lives worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Elizabeth Newman writes that in Scripture and Christian tradition, the word vocation, from the Latin for call, indicates that someone else is calling. Vocation is different than career in this regard. While career, related to Latin for the word racetrack, refers primarily to the human effort, as in, what do you do for a living? Vocation points to another direction. The initiative resides not with us, but with the one who calls and invites. Listening for God's call begins with seeing our lives as gifts. But we want to know, where is God calling me? How do I discover my particular vocation? It seems natural to think about ourselves first and to wonder, how might we connect with a community and with God? Throughout Scripture, though, we see that God desires and calls a people. Of course, the calling of God is to Israel begins with a single individual, Abraham, but the purpose here is for the whole people of Israel and for the world, beginning with Israel and continuing into the church. God calls a people to be his body in and for the world. This does not deny that God calls each of us in unique ways, but our vocation is not ultimately about us as individuals, but what God is accomplishing in the world and through a whole people. Our calling comes both through community and is oriented towards community. Let's continue with chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. So live a life worthy of the calling you have received, which looks like this. Be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Alan Brehm writes about this. And just in case anyone missed the point that this life is one that should transcend all the lines that divide the body of Christ, Paul adds a theological rationale to his call to unity. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, and when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul encourages them to do whatever it takes to hold the unity that binds people together in peace. He does not ask them to create the unity. This has already been accomplished through the work of Christ and his Spirit. Rather, he calls to guard the unity, a more modest but no less significant task, because that unity is founded in God's oneness and work in the world. In the Gospels, we see again and again that Jesus' own disciples completely missed the point of his life and teaching. In Luke 9, we read about the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is teaching to a throng of people in a deserted place, and afterwards he tells his disciples to feed them. And when they respond, "Who, me?" or "What are we going to feed them?" or "Where will they all sit? And when will we have time to cook for everybody?" I wonder if the request Jesus makes is not just a pragmatic one. I wonder if he was trying to point his disciples to an important truth related to spiritual growth. The life that Jesus points us toward is one that is only attained by a commitment to service. One that simply says, "Yes, Lord," or "Yes, Lord, if you help me," when we're called to do something we didn't expect to. One way we become who we are in Christ is by following Jesus' example of selfless love and sacrificial service to others. This, of course, relates to congregational transformation. It is only when we become like Jesus by serving the people around us with compassion that we are becoming who Christ has called us to be. So who comes to mind when thinking about serving people around us? Is it those right here in our midst? Is it the marginalized, those who feel that church is not for them? Is it about issues of justice and reconciliation or climate change? The task of the church is to become what it already is. The task of each believer is to become who we already are in Christ. Just like we see ourselves in our parents in big and little ways, we should also be recognizable as children of God. Is Christ's likeness hardwired into us? Have we spent enough time with Jesus to be like him? Are we showing our children and grandchildren an example of service, of sharing our gifts for the building up of the kingdom, to show Jesus the world? Jesus showed himself to be merciful, freely forgave injuries, and was glad simply to give, expecting nothing back. Is it possible, as Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Ephesians 4, verse 7 shifts now from talking about unity as a body to each one of us and the gifts that we receive. Verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Yoder Neufeld says that three different words for giving and gift are in this verse. And the word grace actually can be translated here as gift. The heaping on of the word gift is to emphasize that the church is supplied with every gift needed for the task of unity. What's the measure of or amount of Christ's gifts? Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 8, that this grace or gift was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable richness of Christ. It's the boundless riches of Christ given to us. Earlier, the emphasis was on the unity of the body. Here, it is on each one of us as the recipients of God's gifts. There is a relationship between the unity of the body and the giftedness of the individual. Ephesians 4, verse 7 says, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This list is not a list of gifts given to certain people, but rather they, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, are the gifts themselves. The persons listed here are ministers of the word. These people are called to equip the saints for the work of service for the building up of the body of Christ. These people are here together with all the saints, that is, all who love and follow Jesus, to do the work and ministry and build up the body. It's like in sports. The list of gifts in verse 11 might be seen as coaches, trainers, team physicians, and equipment handlers. The saints, as a whole, are the team that does the actual playing. Without the team, there would be no game, let alone any victory. Of course, this analogy has limitations. It draws too sharp of a distinction between coaches and the team. Both play the game and together perform the work for ministry. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Another way of saying it is these ministries will continue until we are unified in the faith and filled with the knowledge of the Son of God until we stand mature in his teachings. and are fully formed into his likeness of the anointed, our liberating King. So although the church is already the body of Christ and has the fullness of Christ, all the gifts at work in it and among us, the saints, are to be put to work so that we all might together arrive at that fullness to be like Jesus. Ministry has to do with becoming what we already are. The task of the church is to become what it already is. The task of each believer is to become who we already are in Christ. Who are you in Christ? What are the gifts that you have been given? What is the vocation that you have been called to? Who does Jesus say you are? We have this mosaic image of the cross. Each piece is unique, a different shape, a different tone. Each piece alone is unremarkable. Together, it becomes something of beauty and meaning. So too with the body of Christ. We are empowered by the Spirit of God with gifts for the kingdom. Each one is necessary for the building up of the church. We need artists, thinkers, doers, builders, quiet and loud. We need imagery and realism, contemplative and movers. We need deep holiness, radical inclusion. We need theology and ethics, and we need simple, trusting faith. We need clear truth-telling, and we need humble compassion and grace. If everyone looks the same, thinks the same, we are not whole. We cannot do these things alone. We each bring, we need to bring, and share our gifts. Of course, this is not just about our church, Fort Garry, or even the Mennonite Brethren as a whole. We need the whole church, the global church. We learn from others. We need evangelicals and passion for the authority of the Word of God. We need Anabaptism and insistence on daily discipleship and grace. We need orthodoxy, room for symbolism and mystery. We need Catholic emphasis on the history of tradition and ritual. We are not in opposition to each other. We are the body of Christ together. And we cannot reflect the fullness of faith alone. We each bring and share our gifts. Think about what you bring. Who you are in Christ. In the front here, you saw the kids putting up shapes on the cross. There are baskets here near the front as well, full of shapes and different colors. I invite you to come to the front and pick up one of these shapes and attack and place them on the cross. You don't have to know exactly what it is you are bringing or who you are. Maybe you are unsure of your gifts. That's okay. We are all on a journey of finding out who we are. So come up if you know or you don't know. If you are unable to come up but would like to place a shape on the cross, I'll be roaming around with a basket of shapes as well. We all make up the body of Christ. To each one, grace has been given to the measure of Christ's gift. Please come.